Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. Having captured the recalcitrant former mayor, the Mystery Punchers headed to a veterinarian on the advice of Bobby Walkie. Adrian got a new shotgun called the Narwhal. Red tried to sweet-talk the vet, and just before surgery, Richter and Adrian ended up trapped in an Egyptian dreamscape with a giant worm in hot pursuit. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Adrian, you see a massive white worm. You can't see all of it, but what you can see of it, lit by flickering torches attached to these walls, covered in drawings that, like, weirdly kind of make some sense to you, even though you don't know what they mean. But, like, you get it. Pictures are better than words. Why doesn't everyone do this? This is dumb. But you can see this massive thing. Just kind of slithering through the through these pillars. The pillars seem to extend in every direction. Beyond the worm, You can see sort of a golden glow. There seems to be kind of an altar or something set up beyond it. But otherwise, kind of in every direction around you are more rows of these square columns, or rectangular columns, rather. What do you do?
Hey, do I have the narwhal in my hand still?
You do not...
Or do I have the knife? I think I try to see, like, narwhal knife, what do I got?
Go ahead and roll me a... Let's just go with a straight pow, please.
I will expend two luck to have a hard success.
So you reach into your coat, and you pull, like, you grab the narwhal by the tail, as you understand it, and pull it out, and a full narwhal extends out of your pocket. I assume you try and shoot the worm?
I'm here. Richter's here. The worm, is it coming at us, or is it just moving around?
It's at distance. These columns are close enough together that it has to kind of weed its way through. But yes, it is. It's currently coming, like, cutting across, but then it's starting to angle back around to come up towards the two of you. It's clearly, like, tracking you.
Okay, then, yeah, I would say, like, I'll grab Richter with, like, a hand over a mouth kind of thing and point him at the worm. And then I'll bring the narwhal up and just be like, "You got a plan, Grandpa?"
I don't. and I'm just going to look over and see, can I read the hieroglyphs?
Go ahead and roll me a mythos check, please.
Oh, that's such a good roll. My mythos is low, but it might still work. Yeah. That is a hard success.
Damn,
I rolled a 5.
Richter has certainly thought about hieroglyphs a lot. You're not fluent in them, and yet these ones seem to make a degree of sense to you. They seem to refer to something called the Great Suggester. Yeah, it just seems to warn of its impenetrable influence and of its many spawn.
So, Adrian would keep the narwhal up, and, like, basically when the worm gets within functional range, he'll shoot. He's not going to try to long range shoot it because he's got that much sort of instinctual understanding. He'd be like, "Grandpa, do we run into the dark, or do we try to get to the altar, whatever that's glowing up there?"
We should get to the altar, and we should do it quietly and quickly. Can you do both of those things, Adrian?
Well, you lead the way, and if I can't, I've got the narwhal.
So I'm going to start sneaking.
And roll stealth checks, please.
At a 77, that's still a regular success.
At a 67... that is a fail so bad. I could use all of my luck and still not get there. My stealth is 20.
Shit, man, mine's 80.
So he sneaks ahead and fall down.
Richter's a ninja for some reason.
You kind of disappear into the shadows, moving kind of from pillar to pillar. As you do, you see more about kind of like how these... how the suggester can seemingly inhabit and poison your ka, and how it will replace your very being and must be purged with fire. You see all of this as you continue to slip from shadow to shadow. Unfortunately, to your horror, you look back over your shoulder and notice that Adrian is not with you, because instead he's moving from pillar to pillar slowly and very deliberately saying, "Sneak. Snake."
Like Snake. Kronk with his sneaking theme from Emperor's New Groove?
Yes, very much that. and the worm seems to be beginning to move towards him. Now, with the worm moving towards Adrian, the way is clear for you to make it to the altar. But it will mean leaving Adrian alone.
I will quickly run up to the altar.
Okay. So you begin to rush up to the altar, and you can see that it is gold carved. You can see the worm represented sort of in the center, but it seems to be held up by a sort of carved pile of smaller worms that are holding it aloft. Dangling from each of those smaller worms, you see kind of a, like the small Egyptian figurines that they carved. So very much if you took a... took a hieroglyphic character and turned it so that it was facing you. It's still the very like rigid arms and legs, but you can see human figures seemingly hanging off each of these worms kind of from the mouth, and their mouths seem to be over top of their heads. At the base, you can see there are kind of four torches set up, and there appears to be a modern briefcase, and inside that briefcase you can see there are four fresh hearts.
I'll pick up a heart and hold it to one of the four torches. Are the torches lit?
Yep.
I'll pick up a heart and place it in the flame of one of the torches.
The heart begins to burn. And you hear the creature screech, and it's like a sonic, like your very skull begins to vibrate as you hear this horrible, horrible screeching. Meanwhile, outside, Red, you and Dr. Gagliori are hunched over old man Richter, who is completely rigid. And trembling. His whole body has broken out in a sweat. The doctor, doctor with air quotes around it, turns to you and says, okay, well, this is a bit alarming. There does, in fact, seem to be some sort of parasitic creature inside, deep, deep inside his ear canal. It may be attached to his brain?
Well, regardless, we're going to have to get it out. So I'm going to have to trust you on this, doctor.
Ha! and then he just, like, takes one of the vials of cocaine and just, like, chugs it. And he says, one for you, madam?
No, thank you.
Or for me.
Okay.
Drinks the second one, shatters it. He's like, whew! Well, now I'm up for doctoring! Just need those to steady my hand. Now, please, can you hold these over the flame? And he hands you the tweezers.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of hold the tweezers over the flame and hand them back to him. He says, well, this is going to get unpleasant. You should really see it to your friend. Adrian is convulsing and shaking. His mouth is beginning to foam. You can actually see that his eyes seem to be moving in different directions very rapidly. What do you do?
I'm going to roll him on his side, and try to hold him down, but, like, this is so far out of my expertise that, like, that's pretty much all I'm gonna do.
Okay, can you please roll me a, we'll say, first aid, please.
Come on. I got, oh, okay. I forget what this means. I got a 10 and a 0.
That's 10.
That is, whoa, 10.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Great. Then that is, ooh, that's a hard success.
Great. So a couple of your crew were into the harder stuff. So you've seen people OD before. You kind of know what to do. So despite Adrian being large, you're able to kind of roll him over. What's something you've said to comfort him before? I know Red's not a nurturing type, but like what's your kind of like get your head in the game soldier?
I mean, I'm not sentimental. I think it's just Everything's going to be okay, Addy. Everything's going to be okay because I am here and I'm not going anywhere.
Behind you, you just hear the doctor go, "Oh, fucking what?" and as you turn, you can see that he's got the red hot tweezers kind of like just kind of in Richter's ear, and he seems to be pulling a worm out, but the worm has extended long white tendrils. So it's almost like there's like a web of tendrils attached to this worm that are still kind of inside his head. And he says, okay, so you know that drill I mentioned?
Yes.
Swap it for a saw and hurry. Meanwhile, back inside the tomb, Adrian, the worm is bearing down on you. Your stealth having failed. What do you do?
Probably try to get as much of myself behind a pillar as possible, and then when it gets close, shoot it in the face.
Okay. Go ahead and roll, please, a... What'll that be? That'll be...
I have firearms, rifle, shotgun?
Yes, that is... I mean, you should technically be using firearms narwhal, but... I understand you maybe didn't read that source book. It's the narwhal expansion.
Well, oh dear. Well.
is that a fumble, buddy?
Not now. I'm going to use 31 luck to make it a success.
oh man.
What?
Adrian, you felt fear of having to go to sleep earlier, but this is a whole other thing. And you have settled into just kind of survival mode, which is like, okay, I'm going to hide behind this thing that'll keep me somewhat safe. And then as soon as this thing gets close, I'm just going to shoot it as hard as I can. That's it. That's the play. So you're ready. This is classic, like... fucking McConaughey jumping with the fire axe into the dragon's mouth in Rain of Fire. Just like completely badass, but utterly pointless maneuver. Just as you step out, you hear a voice. And it just says, "Aim up and to the left. Come on, we know angles." And as you go to lower, the shotgun, it's true. It'd be dumb to just kind of shoot it in the side. So you raise it up and to the left, and fire, and you blast a chunk of teeth and, mouth off. And as you do so, you see a blast of fire erupt from the side of the worm, Richter holds the heart up to the flame. And as you turn to see who gave you the advice, you see an incredibly well-dressed, smart-looking boy who's looking very, very pleased with himself. He just kind of nods and says, "Ah, good shot. We should run." I think that's what Tracy would suggest, and she would be right.
I'm going to listen to the spooky boy. And I would like to run while trying to reload my narwhal.
Great. Ryan, can you roll me, please, a dex check for dip, dive, and dodging your way through these?
I have a success.
Great. So you start, like, just running, sort of a wacky pattern as best you can. And it's a little bit like, oh fuck, I can't believe I'm gonna use this analogy. It's a bit like how Russell Crowe Jor-El just shows up in like wherever he runs, he's just kind of there, standing there, being like, "Turn left." So Spooky Boy is there, just being like constantly kind of guiding you in the right direction. Man, a steel pull. What a day.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica,
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents,
or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Richter, the heart burns up, and you definitely see the effect on the worm. It doesn't look like burning all these hearts will destroy it, but they do certainly seem to distract it. You reach back down towards the case, that heart kind of having fallen to ash in your hands, you see a symbol sort of etched on the outside of the case. And it seems to be a very simple crown, in kind of a very long triangle. So like a triangle where the baseline is very, very long, and then just kind of a small bridge, and then just almost almost like a Jughead crown, like just like four,
yeah,
4 points, very simple, inside an elongated triangle. It seems to be inlaid in the briefcase lid.
Do I recognize this symbol at all?
You have not seen it before. But it does immediately make you think of the entombed eye. It's not the entombed eye, but it definitely makes you think of that.
Okay. I'm going to grab two hearts this time, one in each hand, and hold them out over two separate torches.
Okay. As they begin to burn, the worm does as well. And then suddenly your vision blurs and you feel yourself get pulled, almost like someone's pulled a rope. As you get sort of pulled to the right, you actually kind of feel your body fall apart to some extent. Everything feels very light and weightless. And as you kind of look back, you can see your torso and your arms and legs, and everything just seems to be almost floating apart as you're pulled. Can you roll me a sanity check, please?
Sanity, okay. That's a fail.
Ooh.
Failure.
All right. So go ahead and lose 6 points of sanity, please, as your brain struggles to reconcile the feeling of togetherness you have with the visual of your body seemingly being almost not like ripped apart in a gory way, but disassembled as though you're like a video game sprite that's been broken apart. Back outside, Red, the worm, you can see Richter's entire face pulling in agony as the doctor pulls this worm. And he just says, "Cut it! You must cut it!" You look down, you see this thing, it's got all these tendrils. What do you do?
I'm going to help pull it, because I feel like basic knowledge of worm anatomy is that worms can survive being cut into multiple pieces. Mm-hmm. So...
You're going to try and tear it out instead?
I'm real sorry, Richter. I'm doing what I think is best here.
How dare you ignore this, quote, doctor and his orders.
Yeah, he's on so much cocaine. How could he be wrong?
He walked
it
by
balances a medical the humors.
He walked by a medical school that one time. He has eaten his lunch near medical students several times.
They risk Richter's life. He needs to prove himself to his father, who isn't here.
Go ahead and...
look like his dad, so it doesn't matter. If he kills me, he wins anyway.
Papa! Red, can you roll me a... I think we'll go sleight of hand.
Yes, I can. That's a success.
Cool. So where the doctor is pulling from the end with like red-hot tweezers... you sort of gird yourself. You reach forward with your four-fingered hand and just wrap your fingers into the tendrils. Mm-hmm. And rather than pulling, you just twist and spin. And a bunch of them snap. You can feel like a sort of a clear liquid, kind of viscous liquid start to kind of roll through your fist. The thing is still attached, but you feel like you've got it about halfway out. And it's starting to like squirm and writhe. Meanwhile, Richter, suddenly like a spring, your body collapses, stacks back into itself. Kind of grabbing your bearings, you just shove the other heart into the fire. You reach a dead end. And you've had no luck reloading the narwhal. But Spooky Boy is there, and he looks very proud of himself. And you see him adjust a thing on his finger. And he says, "Don't worry. I ciphered the code out, and it told me where this would be. For you." And he points down, and there is a desiccated corpse, an ancient desiccated corpse, wearing sort of a light tunic. With kind of a broken metal chest plate, but it has a giant ass spear and an old kind of feathered shield.
All right, we're doing this then. And I think he'll just like stow he'll fucking toss the narwhal, screw it. Just like go.
As you toss it, it turns to sand.
Okay. he says to like himself and Spooky Boy, and he'll pick up the shield and the spear. And just like dig the spear end kind of like under his heel into like one of the spaces between the stone and the floor and lean it forwards and just like brace himself to take a worm charge.
Okay. So the worm is now straight up on fire. Like it is kind of like just burning its way through. Beside you, Spooky Boy kind of like hides behind your leg. And just says, honestly, I think this is a good plan. I think we did well. And then he kind of hugs your leg and he's like, I'm really glad you're here. I'm pretty scared.
And I just say, it's going to be okay, boss. You got good ideas. You just stay back there and let me do the big stuff.
Says, all right, great. We make a hell of a team. Oh, I mean, heck of a team. God, Tracy's wearing off on me. And then the worm is upon you. So, Ryan, what's your plan as the worm charges?
I think he would hold position as much as he could, and then it's just at the very last second, try to ram it forward so he can get the most of the impact out the gate. And yeah, then yeah. he'd just be trying to stay on his feet.
Gotcha.
If it doesn't back off, then it's just trying to hold as long as he can before it crushes him against the wall.
Cool. Can you roll me a brawl check, please?
Ooh.
That'll give you advantage for prepping.
I like
for that. Bracing. I'm literally giving you something for bracing. This is
that is an extreme success.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
All right. Nice. Well done. The worm rushes you. You lower the spear. What do you yell as you leap at it?
Back off, you friggin' worm.
And I think that's it. He's not very creative.
You know how it works, though. You drive the spear. You kind of shield in front of you. Drive the spear deep into the worm. It slams into you, and you kind of hold the shield up against its mouth as you just, like, start stabbing deep into it. Weirdly, you can feel it kind of twitching and trembling as it burns. Go ahead and roll me a con check, please. Or a size check, actually. I would take size as well.
That is a success.
Cool. So this is literally one of those, like, classic, like, the spear is kind of holding its mouth up. Shield is holding the mouth up. Spooky boy is just, like, punching the tongue ineffectively, but, you know, just trying. You're actually holding the worm at bay as it kind of burns around you. Richter, the third heart burns up, and you can see the worm has slammed into a wall. But suddenly you begin to fade. As you blink, each time you blink, you start to see kind of a dingy stained roof, as well as the worm you're fighting, and the crypt of the suggester. Here's a question: Do you kind of follow the instinct to fall out of this, or do you fight to stay in it?
I would fight to stay in it to help Addy.
Gotcha. Go ahead and roll me. We'll go with the. Think education check, please.
Where's that number?
It's edu. It's at the top of your sheet.
Oh, up there. Oh, okay. Yeah, this should hopefully be okay.
Yeah, we're just going for pure.
Oh, yeah, we're in good shape.
Can we build it? Yes, we can.
That's a hard success.
All right. Great. So realizing that Adrian's still in danger, You sort of shake it off, and you reach for the final heart.
Yeah, I'll grab that final heart and I'll say, "Hang in there, Addy. I'm almost done." And I'll grab that heart and thrust it into the fourth torch.
Great. So as you do, the fire begins to burn the heart. You see the worm burn. Addy, it's almost like a column of fire now, but it's not burning you. It seems to only be affecting the worm around you. And Richter, as you're kind of holding the heart out in front of you in the flames, there's a glow from your palm. And even through the back of your hand, through the bone, through the skin, you can see the entombed eye logo that's been seared into your hand. And it begins to kind of glow and throb. And as it does, the statue behind you begins to glow and turn sort of red hot. And as you burn the heart, the statue begins to melt. And as it does, the worm begins to melt. And your hand burns and it hurts and you can feel it charring. You can smell your skin burning. And yet this eye just grows larger and larger and larger. And as it does so, the kind of fire and the light from the worm gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it's white hot. And when it finally reaches just that level of being almost overwhelmingly bright, you think you see two perfectly black eyes open in the midst of it. And there's an after image of a human form and you think you see it smile. And then suddenly you roll off a medical table onto the ground and throw up. Adrian, you are face down in some sand. And around you is a big dead worm. And as you kind of dust yourself off, you stand up and Spooky Boy reaches out his hand and just says, "So nice to finally meet you."
"Yeah, it's nice to meet me too."
And I'll just reach up to like take his hand and stand up.
And as you do so, a brilliant white hand falls over both of your hands. Just says, "I am glad you were able to meet as well." And then you open your eyes to a dingy room, and you feel a tingle on your hand.
Okay, I look at my hand.
It's just your hand.
Wait, where am I?
And then I'll look around.
You see Red holding a worm in each hand. The doctor is literally like swaying over with a garbage can he's got fire in. He's like, "Okay, so my medical opinion is we burn the fuckers." Hmm?
"Yes, burn them right now."
"Yeah, I learned from Grandpa Richard. They don't like fire."
"Addy, you're okay."
"Yeah, I'm pretty good, actually. I saw another me, and then there was a light, and somebody said, 'I'm glad you two guys met.'"
"What?"
"I think I met Jesus."
And then the doctor knocks the worms into the fire. And the three of you kind of sit around the flames flickering from the garbage can and lighting your faces... Richter, you still have the after image of a human figure walking towards you, and you kind of look at your hand, and it's not bloody, but the logo is golden, and slowly it fades back to the scarred flesh. And as you look at Adrian, just kind of like smiling and nodding, you can see just the faintest outline disappear on his hand as well.
I want to go over there and examine his hand, like without even speaking to him, like grab his hand and like turn it over and look at it.
Looks fine now. There's no scar. There's no after image, and he didn't see anything.
I'll pat Richter on the shoulder and be like, "Grandpa saved us both from the worm.
There's a giant worm gonna eat us. He's a real hero."
After all, it turns out that, in the end, old man Richter was the right man for the job.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar,
DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
One foot after another. That's all I can do. That's all any of us can do. I was remote ops in the war. Neural implants let me control trucks, drones, whatever you got. Now I'm back and all these government-issue prosthetics are falling apart.
What the hell are you doing in my barn?
I'm just looking for a little power, and then I'll be on my way.
That'll be Arlen Frey. He must have seen you on the drone feeds.
Who is he?
The meanest son of a bitch with a badge.
Broken Road. A dystopian audio drama coming Monday, July 25th, 2022 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you like to listen. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Broken Road Pod. Learn more at www.recursor.tv/Broken Road.